Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 6. I get it right in a minute. But again, we appreciate you being here. Thank you for that song. That's one of my favorites. I love to hear them sing that. And truly today, I believe all of us would have to say beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've been blessed. You said, well, you know what I've gone through. Well, I can assure you somebody's gone through something worse than you have. And we just ought to be blessed today and thank the Lord for what He's done. Today's Father's Day. I want to do something a little different than I normally do. Normally, I find one of the fathers in the Bible, whether it be a good father or a bad father. If it's a good father, I tell you all the good traits and things he did right to encourage you to do those things. If it's a bad father, I tell you all the things he did wrong and why you should not do that. But today, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to come to the point. A lot of time on Father's Day, we often talk about what is a good father. But today, I want to speak to you on the subject of how to be a good father. I realize today that many of us are probably already past raising our children, but you can still be a good father even after your children are grown. And today, I hope that this will be a blessing and encouragement to you. I've got, I just really got a list today instead of points. So today I want to just share with you a few thoughts, and I want to begin by reading in chapter number 6, in verse number 1, and verse 4 will be our text for today. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Our Father, we do thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together. And Lord, today I pray that you'd help me. I pray as I stand here today that you might anoint my lips. I pray that you, through the Holy Spirit of God, would speak through me. And Lord, I pray that I would not be seen, but that only you and the cross of Jesus Christ would be seen. And Lord, the shed blood that you shed for our salvation and what you've done for us. Lord, we do pray that you'd have your will and way. Guide and direct, we pray, and we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want to share with you a few thoughts today, just some characteristics of what I believe a good father is. Now, first of all, let me just preface this by saying today, these are not things that necessarily I feel like I did every one of them right as a father with our children growing up and even today. But it's ones that I know that are positively good characteristics that ought to be seen in the life of every father, and they're biblical. I'm going to give you scripture as we go, some scripture to share with you about what the Bible says. And so today, the first thing I want to share with you today, which I believe is a good characteristic of a father, is first of all that he love his wife. I believe today one of the greatest institutions that God gave us apart from the church was the institution of marriage. What a wonderful thing it is to find a godly woman or find a godly man, be married together and put Christ in the center of your life and serve him all your life. But you know, your children watch the reaction that you have between your mom and dad. I think about how they're watching. While they're watching, they're learning and they're forming their concept of what marriage should be. And friend, I want you to know training children begins when our children are small, and they watch us, and the only thing they have to watch growing up is mom and dad. And it's the responsibility of the father. We know the Bible teaches us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But literally, as fathers, we need to have a relationship with our wife that'll be a good pattern or a good blueprint for our children to follow when they get to the point of being married. I think today how many times we may fail in that area. But if you show disrespect to your wife, then that's going to carry over with your children into marriage. If you verbally or mentally or physically abuse your wife, your daughter will expect that in her marriage. I don't know how many times I've heard of people say that the daughters end up in the same type of situation that their mother and dad was in. I'm not using anybody as an example because I don't know anybody right off. But I can tell you, your children respond to what they are faced with every day that they live. If you treat their mother like she isn't worth very much, you're degrading the home, you're degrading the family, you're degrading the sanctity of marriage. And by the way, marriage is one of the greatest things that God's ever given to us, for which we ought to be grateful. They'll carry that into their homes and families. Literally today, whether we want to admit it or not, our children's marriages often are dependent upon the relationship that we have in raising them in the proper way. But the good news is this, and this has happened probably more times than the others with the folks that I know. If they visibly see you show love and respect to their mother, Your son will learn to be a good father. He'll be a good husband. And he'll take care of his wife and his family, even as his dad did. If you honor your wife, your daughter will never be satisfied with any man that's not like her father. In fact, I've heard many young ladies say, I'm looking for somebody like my dad. And that's a good compliment, by the way, if the dad is living for God and putting him in the place that he needs to be. As I already quoted Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so today, the first thing I would say, if you want to begin the home and if you want your children to be right, be sure your relationship with your wife is right and what it ought to be. Love her, respect her, and honor her in a way that they'll see Christ in your life in that area. The second thing, and I have a lot of them, so I'm going to have to move quickly, don't expect perfect children. I learned a long time ago, number one, I never was perfect. I never even got close to being perfect. I look back over my days of being a child, and I don't know how in the world my daddy was patient enough to put up with me as long as he did. But listen, first of all, there's no perfect fathers. Thank the Lord today we're all human and we all make mistakes and we all live perhaps in a way that we're not perfect, but there's no perfect children either. And don't expect your children to be perfect. They're going to be children. You hear the saying sometime, children will be children. Well, it's true because that's the way God made them and it's our responsibility to train them in the way they need to go. So fathers, don't expect your children to be perfect. Second of all, don't expect them to meet all your expectations. I think it's good to have high expectations for your children. I believe we ought to do everything we can to raise them in the proper way, to teach them to follow God and do whatever needs to be done. But we need to understand here that they may not meet the expectations that we have for them. That's okay. You pray, trust God, you set the example, and God will place them in the place they need to be. So don't expect them to fulfill all your goals for them. Don't expect them to be what you want them to be. Too many fathers try to live out their own lives through their own children. And listen, your children are as different as we are. They want their daughters, the fathers, they want their daughters many times to marry, money, and success. But maybe it's never achieved. But could I tell you something? To marry a missionary or a preacher or somebody that preaches the Word of God, and he may not have a lot of money, but if he's got the Lord, he's rich in the mercies and the love of God in his life. And so I think yesterday we were somewhere, and I saw a young lady, and she had a map of the world, somewhat like we have behind the screen there. And on the back it said, here am I, Lord, send me. I couldn't help. I had to go over and compliment her on her shirt, and I had to talk to the family and find out where they went to church. I knew they went, and immediately when I asked them, they told me where they went. But you see, we need to understand today that we ought to want God's will for our children's lives. Fathers, pray for God's will, and God's will be done if we're obeying Him and doing what He wants us to do. Every child is different. Anybody that has two children know that. Believe me, my two children was as different as night and day, and we find that they're there and they're not going to be the same. One, I've heard people say, boy, when this one was coming along, we had no problems. Man, they just did wonderful and didn't hardly cry. Boy, this second one's been a nightmare. Listen, that's all right. That's the way God made them, and you got to understand patience and understanding. They're all not going to be alike. By the way, it's natural for children to make mistakes. They're going to spill a little milk along the way. They're going to break a few things. I promise you of that. But don't get angry, and don't, as the Bible said, provoke them to wrath or anger. Understand you made mistakes too. And I'm telling you today, listen to me, please don't take the fact that I'm saying today that we ought not discipline our children and we ought not to take care of them. But if it's an accident, I believe it ought to be treated as an accident and not as a punishment, because any of us can break anything at any time. The other day at our house, my wife reached on the refrigerator to get a basket of glass apples and oranges and bananas. I was in the living room. I thought the ceiling had caved in. Stuff was bouncing and breaking, and we're still getting glass in our foot all over the place. But did I holler at her? No, I didn't. I told her you should have called me. That's the only thing I said. I could have reached it. But, you know, instead of constantly criticizing our children, instead of constantly criticizing their imperfections and acknowledging their imperfections, love them. Friend, I'm telling you, I had a daddy that was tough as anybody. But I tell you, my daddy showed me love, and I knew that he loved me, and he cared about me, and what a blessing it is. They're not perfect. They never will be perfect, and don't expect them to be perfect. The Bible said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking about discipline here. I'm talking about mistakes. I'm talking about accidents. They need to be encouraged to understand that you understand that one day you did the same thing. Third thing, quickly, enjoy your children. I tell you, the blessing of having children, and then the greater blessing of having grandchildren to carry over. I'm grateful today. The Bible said in Psalm 127, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I tell you today, we need to understand children were not given to us to burden us. I see things and I hear things, and I'm telling you, my heart breaks as I see little children dropped over the wall that are 4 and 5 years old. Children they find in the desert crying, and they don't have an adult with them at all. I can't imagine that. I cannot comprehend it. God did not give us our children just to throw them away, but God gave us our children to enjoy them. Children are not a burden. They're not to be avoided, and they're not to be ignored. In order to enjoy them, you got to be with them. You got to have fun with them. Sometimes we don't spend as much time with our children growing up. And this is not a slam so much on my dad, but my dad was he worked all the time. He was always doing something for somebody. He only went to the 8th grade, so he went back to technical school. He used to work at the thread mill. He'd get off at 3, then he'd go to technical school at night. When he graduated from technical school, started his own went in with another man. They started a refrigeration business, and people were constantly calling him. He was constantly going to fix people's refrigerator. But I can tell you this, when it came Sunday, and when it came church time, we were going to church, and my dad was going to have me in the place I needed to be. Enjoy being a father, and make sure that they enjoy you being their father. I tell you what a great compliment today when our children, I know the Bible says that we rise up and call our mothers blessed in Proverbs, the virtuous woman, and I understand that, but listen, it's a wonderful thing when children sing the praises of their father because he set a good example. Friend, listen, you can never underestimate the power of the influence that we as fathers have on our children. Spend some time with them on the floor if they're little. You don't want to be down there when they're big because they'll whip you then. But get out on your knees and give them some horsey rides. Take them to fun places. Do some fun things. Laugh. Play. Give them memories of dad being around, having fun, and doing whatever needed to be done. Number four, and I must move on, listen to your children. Listen to them. Give them your undivided attention. I'm not talking about watching the TV with this eye and listening to them with this eye because you're not listening, you're watching the TV. I'm talking about listening in a way that they know that you're listening. When they have a problem, when they're worried, when they're sad, when they're lonely, they don't need cartoons or a video game. What they need is a best friend. They need a dad that can show them how much he loves them and cares about them. Get involved with your children. Know what's going on in their everyday life. Be involved with them in whatever they do. I remember growing up, there's one thing, and it wasn't things I enjoyed, but I remember when my children was in the band. I was a band booster for 8 years. And I got a lot of responsibilities because I was going to be there, and so I did a lot of work. And I wouldn't take nothing for it. I went on them with the field trips. I went with them just everywhere they went or anything they did. I'd go to all the football games and bring my children back with me instead of them riding the bus because I wanted to be with them. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying simply, folks, spend time with your children. Listen. And if you listen to them with small things, they'll come talk to you when they got big things and things they need to talk to about. Be the kind of father that you can come to and say anything that's on your mind without being criticized for it. If you listen to them, as I've already said, and there's small problems, they'll come when they're bigger. Listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs 1:5. It said, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. You know what I hope today to help you with today is all of us could do better, I'm sure, as being a father. And so we need to understand, we need to listen to our children. Listen to what they have to say. Don't cut them off. Don't tell them. And listen, Lord forbid, I hate to hear somebody tell their child to shut up. Listen, you could say just be quiet for a minute or respect us here, but don't talk that way to them. They don't need to be hollered at and screamed at about everything. They're a person, and they need somebody to set an example to help them to grow up to be a godly person and to live for God and be what they need to be. Number five, provide for your children. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Even lost people provide for their families. I don't believe you can be a good father if you don't provide for your children. I don't mean that you have to give them everything they want. In fact, that's probably the worst thing that we can do. But we live in a generation of children whose parents have robbed their children of the blessing of knowing what it meant to want or to work or to wait on anything. And we've given them everything they wanted. And as a result of that, it could cost them in the long run because they've learned at being spoiled that they have instant satisfaction. And I'm going to tell you, we're not going to always be around. And they need to learn the responsibility of what life is all about. Listen, a lot of fathers say, man, I'll just give my child this, give him this, give him this, and that'll substitute from the time that I spend with them. God forbid that that's your attitude, because you can't buy your children off. The way you win your children is loving them, spending time with them, and doing what's necessary to allow them to see you involved in their life. I remember, and I'd miss my dear son, Joel, but I tell you honestly, and I'm the same way with Justin, but Joel and I were best friends. I've told you before, he went to some crazy things. He went to WrestleMania, and he went to Tiger Shark hockey games, and guess who he wanted to go with him? And do you think I wanted to go all the time? Well, I did, not because of the hockey or the wrestling, but I wanted to go to be with my son. We need to spend time with our children. I treasure the time that I had with my son. I miss him, but I know where he's at, and I know he's all right. And I'm grateful for the time God gave us. Number six, I told somebody a while ago, I said, I got 10 points. Just hang on, we'll be here for a while. Robert wanted to put a new battery in so I'd have enough time, but I told him it'd be all right. Ephesians 6:4. And this is the crux of the message this morning. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When we get on our children, we don't want them to bow up and want to fight us. We want to approach them in such a way that they know that we're brokenhearted because of their mistake or because of their problem, because of what they've done. Just saw on the news, I believe this morning or last night, some man went to his dad's house and killed his dad and took his truck. What a Father's Day present that was. Just disrespect. But yet again, we don't know all there is about it. But, you know, we must teach and train our children to respect authority in the home, or they won't respect the authority in the school. Now, I know today the school's not everything it needed to be. But I'm going to tell you, my mom and dad taught me that the school teacher and the principal was the authority I was to go by. I've told you before, if I got a whipping at school, I got a whipping when I got home. I never had my dad go to the school and fight the teacher for me, because he always sided with the teacher. And I'm not saying that's always the right thing to do. But I tell you what, we need to understand that if we run, defend the child to the teacher every time, they're going to learn. All they got to do is tell daddy. He'll take care of the problem, and they won't respect the people in authority, whether it be a police officer, whether it be a teacher, or whatever it be, they will not respect the authority that is there. We need to teach our children some boundaries. There's nothing wrong with rules and guidelines. Somebody said, well, boy, you know, I'm not going to be tough on my children. I'm gonna do this and I'm going to do that. Listen, I, you know, the thing about it is, you know, you can still have boundaries and be good to your children and lead them in a way that would be a help to them. Your children are going to put you to the test. They're going to see how much they can get away with. Sometimes around the church, we try to have some standards and things we go by. Somebody said, well, why can't we do that? And I said, because what we do is we open the door for others not to do it. And as Christians, we need to set an example. They're going to see how much they can get away with. They're going to see if you mean what you say. All right, now, stop that. One, two, I'm going to go into three. Three. I told you to stop that. I'm only going to count to three. And I know that's a little overboard, but I've seen people just about that bad. Friend, what they learn is you don't mean what you say, and you don't have the boundaries that are before them. Number seven, pray for yourself. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek ye the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Fathers, there's no greater prayer in your life than this prayer. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. You don't have all the answers to their questions. I surely don't. You can't solve all their problems. You don't have all the wisdom. You don't have all the love. You probably don't even have all the patience to be the father you ought to be. But with God's help, without God's help, you can never be the father that God wants you to be. You need help. You can't do it on your own. This morning, Jim Titus called and said, we're just having a rough morning. He said, please pray for us. I sent him a text back and I said, pray him for God's strength. He texts back and he said, that's all I've got. And friend, I'm going to tell you, when it boils down to it, he's all we got. And you need to understand today, fathers, if you try to do it without God, it's going to be a catastrophe. But with God leading and guiding, he can help you where you need to be. If you need help, turn to God. Number eight, I'm moving along pretty good. Pray for your children. I don't believe there's any greater power on this earth than prayer. I think with all my heart that we began praying Monday about this situation. And I tell you, we booked the charter bus. I may have said this in the outside, I don't remember. But we was able to book a charter bus, and that bus picked them up in about 2.5 hours after we contacted them. Somebody said, well, they're in business for that. Yeah, but most time when you call them, they're booked. Are they not going to do a last-minute thing? But I tell you, God blessed. And as we said, when they got there, the bus said, traveling with God's grace. I tell you, just knew God was in it all. You see, you can't be with your children all the time, but God can. You can't protect them wherever they go, but God can. And by the way, could I insert this? If you send your kids off with Victory Baptist Church, we're going to do everything in our power to take care of them. And I believe that was demonstrated this week. We did not hesitate to do what needed to be done to get them off the road, get them to the camp. They were a little late, but God orchestrated and worked it all out. And there's a reason for everything. But understand, when you left them Monday morning, God was on the bus with them just as much as he was with you. You can teach them right from wrong. But you can't be there when it's put to the test. But God can. Pray for your children. Lift them up to God. Do for them what you can't do. Allow God to work in their life. Ask God to build a hedge about your children. Help them to raise up in a generation. I'm telling you today, I see many times things that's going on in our world and the way young people are going. Fathers, if there's ever a day that we need to be stand up and be counted for, it's today. And we need to understand, even as if we've our children are grown, we need to set the example for our grandchildren and encourage our children to raise their children up in the way that would be pleasing to God. Number nine, be a positive role model. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know there's question about that, and people say, well, I raised my child, and I understand things happen. But you as a father, all you can do is do your best, but you to be a role model for your children. Like it or not, good or bad, they will, to one degree or another, model themselves after you. They may not even look up to you if you're not doing the things you need to be, but they'll still imitate it and try to be like you. You have inherited some of your father's characteristics. Your children are inheriting some of your characteristics. I remember people used to talk on the phone and they say, man, you sound like E.W. That was my dad. Sound like E.W. I hear people all the time. I don't think so. I don't see it like they do. But a lot of people say, well, you look like your dad. Just because I got gray hair. He had beautiful gray hair. I got whatever kind. But anyway, I think they may associate it. But I'm going to tell you, it's a compliment for people to tell me I look like my dad. It's a compliment for anybody to say, because listen, my dad, he was a godly man. He loved God. He raised us up. He taught us what was right. And honestly, today, I don't believe I'd be where I'm at today if it had not been for a father that never wavered. I never knew of him getting mad and staying home from church. I never knew of him. I'm not saying he was perfect about everything, but he set an example. And I rebelled against it. But God brought me back to it because it was instilled inside of me. Whether you know it or not, you're influencing the lives of your children. You're influencing the lives of your children's children. So that's why you need to watch it, because it's not just children, but it's grandchildren that are involved. Be a good role model. A good father will be a good role model to set an example. And boy, I tell you what, it'd be a compliment for someone to say, your son grew up just to be just like his father. Oh, I know you're probably saying, I hope he grows up better than his father. I would say that also. But it'd be a compliment to know that somebody would compliment you on that way in order that they might understand. And then lastly, prepare your children. The Bible said in Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Are you preparing your children to leave home? Man, it was just yesterday. We had a few kids around here that were little bitty kids, and this year they graduated from high school. And in a minute, they're going to be graduating from college. And in another day or two, they're going to be out in the workforce. Are they prepared leaving home to be what they need to be for the glory of God and serve Him? Someday, they're going to take what they've learned from you and begin to apply it in the real world. You only got approximately 18 years to get them ready. Preparing them for a life away from you is part of the picture. We're going to understand one day they may up and leave and the nest may be empty. You have no control over them anymore, and they're not where you can monitor them every day and everything they do. And we got to depend on the fact that we prepared them good enough, that God's going to help them along the way to do what needs to be done. If you haven't spent time with your children preparing them, you better get started. If you got them at home, there's still time. But here's the sad part. I hate to say it. I know people that don't believe in God that are pretty good parents as far as raising the children, maybe teaching them even morally right. But friend, honestly, from my standpoint, I don't believe we can be a good father unless, first of all, we strive to teach our children that a man named Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for our sin. I was thinking this morning, in fact, I was listening to my message on the radio at WPX this morning, and I related to how the fact that I remember the night my son got saved. I remember my mother and daddy, their profession. They got saved before I was born, but I saw the example they set. I remember my sister being saved and baptized, both of my sisters. And I was just riding down the road this morning, listening on the radio, and I just about had a spell. As I thought about, as far as I know, all my family, I'm going to see them again. What a wonderful day. Listen, I love my dad. I miss him. Boy, I talk to him every day. Joel used to call me every day. I talked to him twice the day that he got killed. And I tell you what, it's a hard thing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a more horrible thing for your children to die or your father to die, even as fact, and not know the Lord Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. You say, well, that's why I bring them to Sunday school. That's wonderful. But don't depend on Sunday school to raise your children. Mom and Dad, it's your responsibility. You say, well, we try to set the right example, and that's good. But it's also good that you talk to them about the things of God, the blessings of God. And I just share this because it thrills me, and I don't think Donna would mind. She had her grandchildren last week, and I know she spent a lot of time talking to them about things. And she was telling me she took them back last week, and I think the word she used was, they just fell at Jesus, because all they could talk about was what they had learned and what they had got just being here a week and her sharing and giving them the word of God. Friend, what a joy that is. And they live way off, and we'll see them only when they visit. Literally, they could impact the lives of their parents and others for the glory of God. And I say to you this morning, Father, step up. Be the man you need to be and do what God would have you to do. You can't choose which eternal path you can take, but you can choose to show them the way to heaven, or you can choose to ignore their spiritual destiny. They have to decide for themselves. As much as moms and dads would love to save their children, you can't. Only God can. But it's your job to make sure that they know that He can and that He will if they'll put their faith and trust in Him. It's not easy being a good father. You said, preacher, this is, all that stuff, man, that's just almost impossible. It can be without God's help. But hard work, hard praying, and making hard decisions, God will help you get through it. Don't miss out on the adventure of being a father. And today I thank God He allowed me to be a father. I thank God for my children, for my wife, and for my family. And now it's my responsibility to be the role model that I need to be for them.